Take your Bibles this morning for our public reading and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12 as we continue our journey. Now my plan is to finish up Luke 12, speaking to the church here, and then we're going to take a break from the New Testament, and then we're going to do something that people don't like. We're going to go read the Old Testament, and we're going to go in the book of Jeremiah. Luke chapter 12, verse 49 to verse 59. So we'll be concluding chapter 12 here this morning. This is God's eternal preserved word. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I strengthened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I have come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud arise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrates, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Please be seated. May God bless his word, but remain open. Verses 49 to 53 covers one particular portion of Jesus' message here. And that is the fact that Jesus, listen carefully, this might shock some, Jesus is not the great uniter of men. Jesus has become the great divider of men. He says so himself, not me. And this division was taught in principle on the very first day of creation. All there was darkness, right? In this watery globe, the original creation, there it was, ready for God to mold it and fashion it for man to live upon it, and the drama of redemption to unfold. But there was darkness. And as soon as God said, let there be light, boom, there was life from some other source. It wasn't the sun. The sun was made on day four. But whatever source of light that was shining upon that watery globe, it divided the darkness from the light. Okay? And when the 10 plagues of Egypt fell upon the Egyptians, there are several of those plagues where there was darkness fell upon all the land of Egypt, but except in the land of Goshen, there was light. Notice how God divided the Egyptians from his people. And when Jesus comes on the scene and he begins to preach and he begins to say certain things, he caused a division all the time in the synagogue. And the ones who were at odds with Jesus was not the publican, not the drunkard, not the prostitute, not the harlot, not the thieves, not the robbers. Who was at odds with the light? The religious establishment. They were so divided against him, on several occasions they went for the rocks to hurl at him. And they eventually plotted his death. And so, beloved, if you're here this morning as a child of God, listen carefully. If you live your life the way God would have you to live, then your light will always be bright and your salt will always be salty. And whether it's with family, whether it's with co-workers, whether it is with neighbors, there are certain people that your light and your salt will inevitably offend. And according to Jesus, That offense may be seen in some of the most intimate of relationships on earth. Next, in verses 54 to 57, I like this because I'm an amateur meteorologist and I love weather. I went into the Air Force to be a weather observer, but because of my scores were too low, because I was a class clown, the Air Force made me a cook. Okay, not a problem. But in the back room, I got all my instruments. I got a weather station here in the back. And when those dark clouds are off to the west coming in, we know in the summer we're in for some bad thunderstorms. And when that south wind blows all the way from the Gulf of Mexico up here during the summer, we know the heat index will be 110 in the shade. What does Jesus tell them? You can discern the weather. You can discern when hot weather is coming, but you cannot discern. Now look at that verse 56. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. And how is it that you do not discern, notice this, this time? Now I'm going to put myself way out there on a branch. I believe Daniel 9, the 490 years of Daniel's prophecy, started off at a certain point during the intertestament period, when the edict was given to rebuild the city and the walls. 490 years would then tick off. And at the end of that 490 years, Jesus would be on this earth casting a shadow on the ground, and he would be cut off in the midst of the week, not for himself, but for his elect. For me, the 490 years of prophecy terminated at the conversion of the Apostle Paul. There is no 7 years dangling for a future tribulation, because there is no gap between the 483rd year and the last 7 years of that prophecy. You can read Daniel 9 in Hebrew, Aramaic, and in Greek, and in English. You will not find a parenthesis between the 483rd year and the last remaining 7 years. Jesus, that entire prophecy was all fulfilled in the life of Christ, and it terminated at the conversion of Paul. And that's why he told them. What did Jesus say on another occasion? You have missed your visitation in the Gospel of Luke. Your visitation. And so when Jesus strolled into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey, beloved, that 490 years, beloved, was winding down. And in the middle of that week, which is called what? Holy Week, Passion Week. In the midst of the week, he died, not for his own sins, but for my sins and your sins. And then finally, in verses 58 to 59, he talks about that if you and I should wrong someone, if we say an unkind word, or we do something that really bugs someone, and if they wanted to either bring you before church discipline, or they wanted to bring you before the magistrates and maybe sue you for whatever, Jesus' counsel here is what? Go out of your way to make the apology and to plead for forgiveness. When we have wronged someone, and that individual enlightens us to our offense, what Jesus here is saying, we should be quick time and going to the one that we have hurt, our adversary now, and patch that rift between us and them quickly as possible. And if you've been a Christian for some time and you've been around churches, you know that every so often things will flare up within a church family. And sometimes we allow those things to fester, and then they get out of control, and more feelings are hurt, and there's more adversaries than what it originally began. So let's learn to be quick in our apology and in our plea to be forgiven. May God choose to bless his word.